Penguin Random House Audio presents The Garden of Broken Things by Francesca Monplaisir. Read for you by Karen Chilton and Jade Wheeler with Francesca Monplaisir.
There must have been a woman bracing herself in a doorway, arms spread as if on a cross, palms against the frame to keep a house and herself from collapsing. There must have been a radio playing, sound squeezed out of speakers, first tilting, then tumbling off of the low table, made from a plank of wood atop a dusty plastic bucket. There must have been window panes, mismatched sets of flower pattern plates shattering, mirrors slicing through reflections, fingers and feet drawing blood. There must have been a desperate cook recoiling from the burn of coals flung far from fires, pots slipping off stoves spilling rice into scalding piles, pans of uncooked meat, tough bones and boiling broth sinking into dirt. There must have been stick figure children on scraps of paper stolen from sacred school notebooks, scattered drawings by scattered children on the shaking ground where they once ran safely. There must have been lovers on a mattress as low as a rug on the floor, wondering if they had finally made the earth move. Bent breaths between stifled moans, coming, not from the tangled lovers, although they cried as the low ceiling crashed on top of their bare bodies. There must have been a stretched-out shriek of bottomless pain from the core of the confounded earth cracking open. There must have been shattered limbs, bodies flattened by dense slabs of invincible concrete. Bodies, so many bodies, sequestered in closed caves with no room to breathe. Only space for flies to flow in and out of crevices of flesh, making their way to infinite meals after the quake. There must have been blood, so much blood, leaking from the crush, pooling, then flowing slowly to satiate the ground and gods that had not encountered liquid of any form in months. Greedy gods, each awaiting their turn for the blood to flow over their lips, then into the broken mouth of the ground itself. There must have been a hungry grove of green trees, dry, tan leaves gathered at their feet, like children waiting patiently for soon come kisses that would never arrive. For one mother, arrogant enough to think that she was the only mother, there must have been hours on all fours searching for the child she believed had been buried in the grove. That same night, that only night, those only hours, in the deep dark of searches suspended until the morning after, there must have been one mother, the only mother, she thought, fingers blindly clawing close to the roots of plantain trees in a grove that would always and only grow ghosts and graves. Part 1. 1. There must have been a defeated family torn along an unmendable seam, hoping that all of the damage could be undone.
I blast the music to cover the sound of gunshots that fire only in my mind and not into the body of the boy beside me, who seems indifferent to his vulnerability. Miles doesn't want to understand why his rebelliousness is not like the revolts of the white boys at his school. He cannot accept that for them, there is no deadly consequence for minor misbehavior, no cops waiting to scratch the itch of their trigger fingers after first finger frisking the young boy bodies who stand black up against the wall before them. It doesn't matter that we just got our first black president. Miles is only safe with the music blaring in our luxury car in this neighborhood with me driving, daring the neighbors to call the law on an unarmed driver and a passenger, visiting a delinquent dad at the cul-de-sac of a New Jersey suburb. I repeat what I've been saying for months. This has to be the last time, Miles. Yes, Mom, he drawls. You could have gotten yourself killed.
Fuck, Mom. Are you kidding me?
He rolls his eyes. You can curse in front of me. We can listen to songs like this, but I can't use profanity. We're not having this discussion again. This is not the battle I want to fight. Bigger fish, bigger fish. We're not having any discussion. Miles puts his earphones in. I yank them out.
I'm talking to you. Just give me room to breathe, damn.
At least he is responding. Like the car vibrating, answering the bass of Lil Wayne's Amelie. I place my hand on his and squeeze. He squeezes back. He always squeezes back. No matter what, he always lets me hold his hand. I open the moonroof and let the lyrics flow out, cussing at the unseasonably cold November air. Amelie, Amelie, Amel, a millionaire, I'm a young money millionaire. Miles is enjoying the song with me. He doesn't smile. He doesn't have to. I know that he loves that we have a love of hip-hop in common, and that I play the explicit versions of songs without embarrassment. I'm not like other mothers, especially not the Ivy League-educated ones with enough degrees to award to our entire family of five, me, Eve, my nine-year-old, sorry, our nine-year-old, Miles, who always says that he is a parent and the only adult in our household, my mother, Yannick, whom I call Ma, as do the boys, and my grandmother, whom we all call Old Lady. We never count Bright, even when I was married to him. But he is the daddy, my baby daddy. He hates it when I call him that. So I do, every chance I get. I keep my hand on Miles's as we pull up to Bright's new McMansion in Bergen County, New Jersey. I park in front of the driveway, not in it, facing in the opposite direction of the other cars. There aren't usually cars parked on the streets. All of the houses have multi-car garages. But it's the day after Thanksgiving, so the neighbors have had overnight guests. A bigger audience for me. I close the moonroof to keep Miles warm. Before I step out of the car, I change out of my sneakers and into my Manolo stilettos. Bright is already outside in his driveway, arms crossed, arm to the teeth, angry armor on. I can't wait. I'm on the offensive, as always. Before he can start his rant, I go in. Loosen up, Bright. Unfold your arms. Stop being so pretentious. Living in the Jersey burbs doesn't make you white. I've come prepared for the bi-weekly, entertaining argument. Today will be worse because of what Miles did last weekend. Go to hell, Genevieve. I wouldn't want to crowd your space. He's already weakened, off his game. My loud, explicit hip-hop with all of the profanity in the N-word always throws him off balance. I focus on the contortion of his furrowed brows. He always takes the bait, enjoying the angry exchanges almost as much as I do. Well, not quite as much, because he's usually on the losing side. Just because I have some sense of decorum. He's huffing now.
Blasting your music from your range doesn't make you Jenny from the block.
He raises his voice over the bass thump of my modest SUV. No crazy rims, no dark-tinted windows, a subdued burgundy instead of shiny black or bright white.
Jenny from the block?
That's so old, Bradley. You can do better than that. And you can do better than roll up here like some hood rat.
What? I didn't catch that.
I cut my hand over my ear and lean in as if I'm straining to hear him, or...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?